And good morning. The sign says, welcome. We're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. If you're glad to be here, say amen. I don't know any other place in the world I'd rather be on a Sunday than in the house of God, right? And with the people of God. I've been absent a couple of weeks. Been traveling on vacation. Thank you so much for praying for us. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. It's not the same if you travel anywhere. The world is different now a little bit, but it was still good to be away. And over 5,000 miles in a car. Pastor, that don't sound like vacation. Yeah, you're telling me, brother. Yes, we brought all of our kids back. Every one of them. We didn't leave any of them. Almost kicked one of them out in Georgia. But they clung on to that door for dear life. And so that way they were able to be with us. But thank you for praying for us. We felt your prayers. We needed your prayers. Welcome those of you that are watching online. We're so delighted. I had to watch online the last couple of weeks. And it's not easy to do that. I learned some things about myself. I learned that my attention span is not as long as I thought it was. So thank you very much for your efforts. And I don't know where you are in the world today, but I'm glad that you've tuned in to your church family. So much can happen in so few days. And the world is quickly moving. Praise God that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I wanted to begin the service with a anthem that just is a mighty response to an attack against the nature of our God that has happened while I was gone. I understand that throughout our nation, there was a discussion on whether or not Jesus was perfect. I have news for you. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. He is eternal God. Therefore, he is perfect, holy, and righteous in his being. And anyone or any message that is against that is against the word of God. And so I thought today that I would allow our Lord to hear his people sing of his great holiness in a response to the affirmations of the world. John said it this way, he is the Lord God Almighty, holy, 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 he who was and is to come. My friend, if he's not holy, then we could not be holy. But praise God, our God is holy. If you believe that, say amen. Stand and sing like you mean it. Lift your voice. Concentrate on the wording. Our God is being attacked here. Let's sing in his defense.
Down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, holy, darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in pardon, love and purity. Shall pray. praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. Good morning. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another beautiful day. Father, we thank you that you are the Trinity. You are the God, the Father, the God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we know that Satan is seeking around to see who he may devour. James chapter 4 tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. For us to do that, we submit ourselves to the Lord. We trust and put our faith in him, Lord. Well, I just ask you that maybe there's someone here today in person or online that has not put their trust and faith in you, Lord, that today is the day of salvation, that they open their heart and allow you to enter their heart, Lord, that they may have eternal life with you in heaven, Lord. One day you will come down and kick Satan out of here. Lord, I just ask you to be with Pastor today as he brings a message to us. I ask you to allow us to open our hearts and our ears now to hear the message that he brings. Lord, I ask you to be with us now as we turn around and greet each other now, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn around and wave to your neighbor.
Good to see your face. Good to have you here. So delighted to be together to worship. The song says, I stand. You're standing. I stand in awe of you, Lord. I love this little chorus because it allows me to just think about the beauty of my precious Savior. You know, the Bible says about the Lord Jesus that when he was on the earth, there was no physical beauty to him that they would desire him. He was not walking upon the earth and people were fawning over his physical beauty, and yet he was the most beautiful man to ever walk the face of the earth. And when you know him and you met him and you received him, you saw a beauty in him that would surpass anyone. And so the songwriter said that as we stand in awe of him, we see his beauty beyond description. I want you, as you sing this song, to think about ways and words that you would use to describe the beauty of Jesus in your life. You've never seen his face. So it's not a physical beauty, but there is a spiritual beauty and a mental beauty and all that goes with the Lord. Think about it. And in the middle of that, when you get to those phrases, you're beautiful beyond description, just thank the Lord for a couple of the beautiful descriptions that you find in him. It will be a moment of worship as we give God praise that's due his name. Lift your voice now.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard, who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, to marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So good to be in the house of the Lord. I sang so loud, I lost my voice. And I got to work on that. And we're delighted to be able to worship together. If you're visiting with us today, we extend a special welcome to you, whether you're here in person or whether you're watching online. So many new people that are joining us online, both here locally in the state of Florida and around the nation and around the world. And if you're watching online right now, please check in. Some of our church family, you're watching all the time and you're getting a little bit tired of checking in. That just lets me know you're out there. I look for you. It's either check in or send me $20 in the mail. What would you like to do? I think it's probably cheaper to check in right now and or make your comment on Facebook. Just type your name somehow in some way so we know that you're there and if you're well and how you are doing. If you're in our service today, if you stop by the welcome desk, we'd love to greet you, find out how you heard about us, who invited you, all of those things. Thank you for wearing your mask. This is something that is different for our service today, our church. While I was gone, there was the order that was issued, and we, of course, are abiding by that. And I appreciate that. And you wear it in the hallways, wear it if you where we can't social distance. At any time or point, if you're uncomfortable with your seat, feel free to move. Get up, and there's plenty of seats up on the balcony. There's some seats over here, and I want you to be comfortable there. We'll all put our mask on at the end of the service together and make our way out so we can fellowship with one another. Much is going on, and I want to just communicate some things, beginning with today at 5 o'clock. Today at 5 o'clock, we will hold a memorial service for our dear brother, Brother Scott Patterson. You see his picture there. His wife Roxy and Philip are with us today. And Brother Scott has already, his body has already been buried up in South Carolina. Of course, absent from the body is present with the Lord, so he's immediately with the Lord. They had a service up there, but Scott has so many friends in the community, those that need to hear the gospel, that we wanted to provide, Roxy wanted to provide an opportunity for that to happen. So we're going to do a memorial service here at 5 o'clock. If you are unable to make the service, then of course you can watch online. I believe that we will be live streaming only through our website. So you'll have to go to plantationbaptist.org and just click on the button there. It'll pop up and you can tune in to our service. We'll open our doors at 4:30. There's a video that will be playing 15 minutes before the service, and we'll try to make things as distant as possible so that we have some protection there, and we'll hold our service. I know that Christ will be exalted and glorified, and you'll be honored to be able to hear about our dear brother's life. Moving forward, we have our service on Wednesday, and don't forget that. We'll be back in the book of Esther in our Bible study, and of course, we have our Kids for Christ and so on. Our Wednesday night program is going very well, and you're invited to that. And of course, it's online. Men, Saturday, we're going to have a breakfast. We need to have it. We'll make sure to set the chairs up far enough, and we'll make sure to protect the food, and we'll make sure to make it a safe place. But I think as men, we need to get together and pray. I think as men, we need to get together and be sharpened. Iron sharpens iron. We need fellowship together. Ladies need it too, and so we're thinking our way through that. But this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock, our Amen ministry will be meeting, and we'll be meeting in the fellowship hall. As you're making your way around the building, you will see that progress is happening. We're painting some of the rooms in the building. We're almost done with the fire sprinkler work as they are wiring in the last little bit. The dirt pile is going down. Now we have a swimming pool. I can't get it either way. You may have seen that. But underneath all that water, there is progress. And they're getting ready to make their way to tear up the back. All the pipes you see on the west east side go behind the property there. And so we praise God for moving forward in that direction. When I left, I announced that we needed to raise money for our building fund. We needed to raise about $100,000. Monies have started to come in. I think over 10 grand has come in. I brought mine today. I trust that you have yours. We talked about needing this before the first Sunday of August because that's when we're anticipating moving forward in our next section. You see that we had 66 lights that were unveiled out there. And so you take that number times 9,100, and that's how much has come in for the building fund already. So, church family, I hope and pray that you're prepared for that, thinking about that, and able to participate so that we can get this project done and underway as we look toward the future. And only God knows the future, and praise God, God knows the future, and we can trust Him with that and all that is going on. Many of our folks that are hurting today and need prayer, and I'll be sure to make some of that at our prayers of the people and announce some of those. I chose our second hymn specifically today for the preaching of the Word of God. And I want the chorus to be our prayer and our theme for the day. I'm asking God to take this opportunity in our service today to preach a message that draws His people nearer to Him. As I count the calendar, today is July 19th. 19 Sundays ago was March 15th. For 19 Sundays, the church, and basically the world, has been dealing with the effect of COVID-19. So we have July 19th. We've been at it for 19 Sundays. And we're dealing with a disease and an illness and a pandemic of COVID-19. And I have asked God for permission, and God has allowed me today to preach a message that is entitled A COVID-19 Spiritual Checkup. In the book of Proverbs, the shepherd is told to know the state of his flock. I am not the chief shepherd of this church. Jesus is the chief shepherd of his church. But I am the under-shepherd of our church today. And so I'm going to preach a message that takes an accounting of the flock. I'm preaching a message today to expose the eagerness of the enemy to seek advantage in the life of God's people. It will demand your honesty as it will demand my honesty. But at the end of the message, I hope and pray that our heart's desire is to be drawn near to our precious Lord. I love the wording of this hymn. This hymn was written by a lady that was blind. She did not have physical sight, but she had tremendous spiritual sight. And she begins by describing that she belongs to the Lord and goes on to cry out for consecration, the pure delight of a single hour to spend before His throne, and there are depths of love that she cannot know until it crosses the narrow sea. It's a wonderful hymn of devotion for the people of God. Pay attention, read the words, know what we're singing here, and let God use it to prepare our hearts for the preaching of His word. Stand if you would, please. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. Be seated, if you would, please, for our prayers of the people. Brenda Rigney in our church, Renee Coker, Lisette Cologne, three folks that need our prayers. Lisette hospitalized herself this week. She has since been discharged. Brenda Rigney is not feeling well this morning, and neither is Renee Coker. And so we want to lift them up in our prayer, at our prayers of the people, and ask God to prepare our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. Devin Newton will be singing our offertory, beautiful song entitled The Lamb of God. I trust that will enable you to grow in your love for the Lord in these few moments. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, what a marvelous and powerful and beautiful hymn. The plea from the child of God to be drawn near to the Lord. God, that's my heart's desire today for our service. That you would draw us near. Lord, as we do a spiritual checkup today, corporately, we do one individually as well. We thank you for your great love. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Man, I was standing there singing that song about your beautiful beyond description, and so many words, Lord, so many thoughts. I look forward to the day that I see you face to face. What a day that will be. But having not seen your face, I still love you. And when I think about who you are and all that you've done in my life, I, as others, find you to be beautiful. Thank you for being our great God and our great Savior today. Holy Spirit of God, I need you to fill me. I need you to empower me. I'm the under shepherd of our church. I reckon the chief shepherd. Much responsibility is given to me. I am to know the state of the flock in which I pastor. So I pray today, God, as I preach, that the Spirit of God would move in my heart, the Spirit of God would move in the hearts of the people, And we would know your presence. And as we know your presence, we would know your voice. As we know your voice, you would find a submissiveness in our hearts. Lord, it's not easy to watch online. I've had to do it. I pray for the people watching online today. I pray, God, that you would just put a special unction and protection and concentration as we join together. But may you be glorified in all that's done. Oh, you are the Lamb of God who took away my sin and took away the sin of the world. I pray that you would know love from your people today. Bless this offering now. Be with those that need touched by the great physician. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you give. Amen. Thank you, Miss Devin. Oh, the love that's due our precious Savior, the Lamb of God, for dying and taking our debt. Take your Bible, if you would, please. Make your way, if you would, to the second chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 will be our text today. Pastor, what about the book of John? I want to thank Pastor Nick and Pastor Reuben. I want to thank Simeon and Randy and Turner and all the men that preached while I was gone, did just a fabulous and wonderful job. And we will get back to John, Lord willing, next week. But as I've been on vacation and had some opportunity to be quiet and still and searching my heart, searching for direction from the Lord, I believe that God has allowed me to come today to preach a message that I didn't know any better title for than a COVID-19 spiritual checkup. 19 weeks we have been dealing with COVID-19. 19 weeks we have faced change, interruption, restriction, shutdown, lockdown, lack of toilet paper. Praise God, that seems to be getting fixed. Out of routine. And I do believe that it's time to pause. It's time to do some introspective work today. You know, I learned a lesson as your pastor. When you weren't here, you're back now. But when you weren't here and you weren't allowed to be here, it was very difficult to preach to an empty room, although the room was never totally empty, and preach to a camera. I did not realize how much you help me preach. I preach from the pulpit, but you preach from the pew. Your affirmation, your smile, your amen, your presence, even those of you that sleep motivate me to do better. I did not know. I need you today. And I believe that for the message to do in our church what I want it to do in your life what it has done in my life, I need you today. The year of 1980, the month is October, I do believe. Two men are running for the presidency of the United States. Back then, like today, they did debates prior to the election. One of the men that was running was the incumbent president on the Democratic side. His name was Jimmy Carter. Still alive today, teaches Sunday school today. I think almost 90 years old and teaches in that Southern Baptist church up there in Georgia, and praise God for that. The other man that was debating him was a Republican governor from the state of California. California? Yeah, lots changed. At the end of the debate, they give each person a couple of minutes of closing. President Carter, I think, made his closing remarks. And Governor Reagan made his remarks. Many people believe, historians, that it was the closing remarks of Ronald Reagan that really brought a resounding victory on his behalf. At the end of the debate, he stood at the pulpit, and you can Google and watch this. Please don't do it now. And he said, I would like to end my time by just asking the American people to analyze themselves. If you believe that you're better off today than you were 4 years ago, then your choice of person to vote would be my opponent. He said, however, if you do not believe that you're better off than you were 4 years ago, then I would like to offer you an alternate choice. When you watch the recording of President Reagan, you sense within that moment honesty. An honest presentation to the American people to do a self-analyzation and introspection of their lives and make a choice going forward. After 19 weeks of dealing with all that we have dealt with, especially dealing with the intrusion of our spiritual routine, after dealing with all of the infection and the death and the hurt and the difficulty and the change, especially when it comes to our churches being locked down, shut down, and the people kept out. I'm not saying that that was wrong. I'm just saying that it has consequence. I'm wondering today, after 19 weeks, how is your spiritual life? I'm wondering today, if you had to put a number to a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a mess, 10 being vibrant and growing, knowing God knows everything, where are you, Christian, on that scale? The calls are coming in. Can I see you? As I not only analyze my own life, but deal with the people that I pastor, I'm finding that it's having an impact in our spiritual walk, corporately with our churches and individually with our believers. I would ask you today, how is your spiritual life? 19 weeks into COVID-19. Are you walking with the Lord today, Christian, the way you were prior to March 15th? Are you entertaining worldliness? How is your marriage? What about your secret life habit? What about that besetting sin that only the Holy Spirit is able to give you victory over in your life? What about social media in your life? What are you watching? What are you looking at? What are you posting? How are your relationships? Appropriate? Inappropriate? I have found in my life personally, and I am finding in the lives of the people that I pastor, I'm a better Christian when I can come to church. And I think that the biblical truth that I will present to you today needs to be etched into our hearts and our minds. When you come to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2, the immediate context of one of comfort, Paul has written a letter in 1 Corinthians that was filled with confrontation and chastening and correction. Difficult. And yet, the people at the church at Corinth had humbled themselves. They had responded properly. They had submitted themselves to the working of the Holy Spirit of God. They had sought with repentance, confession, and cleansing. Paul writes them in 2 Corinthians to encourage them in this walk and in this life. And in the immediate context of chapter number 2, Paul is dealing with the restoration of a fallen brother. One of the main problems at the church at Corinth that Paul had to address was a sensual, incestual relationship that was taking place. By the way, since the beginning, churches have always had problems. They've always had difficulties. They've always had the need for God to do work. In confronting that immoral behavior inside of the church, there was the distancing of that brother, but there was also the working of that discipline in his life, and the brother humbled himself and submitted himself and sought forgiveness and cleansing. And now there was to be the restoration of that brother. And the crime and the sin that was going on inside of that church must have been very personal. I find that relationships inside the church are very personal, very deep. Can leave tremendous wound or stain or encouragement. And the Apostle Paul is wanting this fallen believer who's been restored to be brought back inside the church. Things will be needed for that. Number one, love. Number two, forgiveness. And Paul is writing to them in that immediate context. And having said that, would you pick up with verse number 8 of chapter 2. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, church, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it. In the person of Christ. Paul says, listen, we need to forgive like Jesus is sitting right here. I find that yielding forgiveness, it's a very difficult, almost impossible thing to do in humanity. Praise God that in the Lord Jesus we can forgive anything. Verse number 11 will be my text. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. I think it is a fair thing to say that as you study the Apostle Paul's life, you will find that he never took his eyes off the Lord Jesus. What a statement the man could make. Follow me as I follow Christ. What a statement. I think it can also be said that though the Apostle Paul never took his eyes off of the Lord, he never took his eyes off of Satan either. The Apostle Paul knew very well that Satan is the enemy of God. He knew in being the enemy of God that he was the enemy of the people of God, the house of God, and the church of God. The Apostle Paul knew Satan to be relentless. He knew him to be deceitful, ruthless. And he understood the Apostle Paul, he understood Satan, to always be looking to get an advantage inside the church. If Satan is going to get an advantage or a gain or an influence inside the church corporately, he's going to do it through you and me individually. When you read the phrase, lest Satan should get an advantage, when you study that, you find there is an eagerness that is tied to Satan. An eagerness to exploit. We find this eagerness recorded by James, our brother. Peter taught us that the trial of our faith is what Jesus would do, and God will test our faith to prove it, and that God would be glorified by it. But James said that everything that God does in our life is good, and even if he brings about a temptation or a testing, but Satan is always there to take what God has meant for good to use for evil. That testing for the growing of our faith, Satan will use in an evil temptation to draw us away from the Lord. And the scriptures would teach us, and the apostle Paul would understand, that Satan is always looking for an opportunity to exploit and get advantage in our lives. I submit to you, he's doing that through COVID-19. I submit to you that churches being locked down may be safe for our health, but it's dangerous for our spiritual life. I submit to you that there are our brethren today that cannot meet in houses of worship. They're meeting outside. I submit to you that these things and requirements that are being done may sound good and they may be proper and we may even support them, but Satan is looking to get an advantage and to exploit. And he's eager to do it. Do not be deceived, church family. Yes, he will attack corporately, but he also attacks individually. That phrase, devices, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You will find that located within that word is the statement of that which is thought through, that which is thought out, well planned, orchestrated, and organized. We find from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, the 12th verse, that Satan is a very organized being. That his minions and his demons and his followers are very organized. When Satan unleashes to exploit an opportunity, he takes thought. He organizes. It's premeditated. Personalized. He knows when to be the roaring lion. And he knows when to be the angel of light. And my friend, God created you, God loves you, and God knows you. Satan did not create you. Satan hates you, but he does understand your nature. It came from him. And I would submit to you that he's looking to get an advantage in your life. Second Corinthians chapter 11, if you would please. I think I can show you a first step. Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, who we know was dwelt by Satan, beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Your Bible may say craftiness. Let me just say, Satan is a fool, but he's not foolish. Satan is ignorant. He's not dumb. His foolishness and his ignorance is he went against God. By the way, it's foolish and ignorant to go against God. But he's brilliant. He's crafty. He's subtle. And he schemes. Proof. are too. Joey, say out loud, you are too, Pastor.
You are too, Pastor.
There. Nobody taught me how to be sneaky. Nobody taught me how to be devilish. Nobody taught me how to scheme. I was born dadgum good at it. So were you. Because that sinful nature resides within me. I submit to you. He knows when to be the roaring lion. He knows when to be the angel of light. He's very subtle. Sometimes so subtle that even the church of God cannot notice. Verse number 3. I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the, what's that word, class? Simplicity that is in Christ. One of the tools that Satan uses to create havoc is complexity. I'm dealing with just a lot right now as far as people and their walks with the Lord. And I'm hearing over and over again about the intrusion of complexity. Well, you know, with COVID-19 and everything being messed up, we just haven't been ourselves. This coming from immoral, adulterous people. Pastor, it's so difficult to get a hold and a peace in my mind. This coming from those that are, Satan has gotten an advantage of. Our world is filled with complexity. Just wait till a hurricane comes. It seems like all of the chaos, just one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. Pastor, when will we get a break? You won't. Our break is found in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. But is that you? Has Satan got an advantage in your life? Because of the complexity of the day. Paul knew very well how Satan moves about. Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Being hindered himself from Satan. That word hinder in that passage carries the idea of building a roadblock. Tearing up the road. Prevention. Pastor, it seems like in these last few weeks, my spiritual intentions are there, but my behavior is not. Pastor, it feels like when I try to go forward, I'm running into roadblock after roadblock. I never can catch a breath. I never can get a break. It seems like I have this desire, but I'm spinning my wheels in place. One of the advantages that Satan tries to arrive to by hindering and putting up a roadblock. I experienced this physically as I was driving back into the state last Sunday. I was on 995 and I got to the Florida-Georgia line. And I saw a sign that said COVID-19 test center 4 miles away. Trucks in the left lane, cars in the right lane. Oh, brother. I'm the type of guy where we got a destination to get to. Let's get there. Hold it and you can go when I say you can go. Can I get an amen? After 4,000 miles, Beverly took charge of that, by the way. Soon as I saw the sign, I wanted to get a detour around it. I thought, let me get off at the exit. I come up to the next exit, backed up, jacked up. Cars everywhere. Look down that exit. Nope, nope, nope. People ditching like crazy. All of them had COVID, by the way. Us honest people. Then I realized as I got closer, boy, we sure are moving at a good clip if we're going to stop pretty soon. Well, we're still moving. We're still moving. All of a sudden, we're back up to speed. Found out when I got there, hope I'm not telling on the city or the state, but it was shut down. Nobody was there. We just kind of glided right through. Came up to the next exit, looked over, packed. People trying to get back on, right? I thought about all those suckers that spent all those hours on those side roads and couldn't go anywhere. I prayed for them. But we just got right through. Church, Satan will do his best to throw up hindrances, roadblocks to get you to detour away from the Lord. You stay on the highway of Jesus. He'll carry you right through. Paul knew him well. He knew his devices. Let me just ask you some questions in closing. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, don't give any place to the devil. I'm asking you, have you given a place to the enemy? Give him an inch. They'll take a what? You let him in your life. You let him get just one little foot in. He's got an advantage. Let me just be real practical here. Pastor, I'm drinking more. I deal with more people who have destroyed their lives with alcohol than anything else. I got two people right now who thought they could control alcohol. It's destroyed them. Alcohol will lead to sensuality, immorality in a breath. What about your social media? You watch it more? I understand that pornography has risen. Probably no other industry has benefited more during the COVID-19 than pornography. I used to give him time to the Lord. Emotional affairs. Well, we used to just talk at work. Now we're more. I'm going to ask you a question. 19 weeks. You giving the enemy a place in your life? Just a little in. Secret. The only people know about are you and God. Paul said that the enemy in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy sets snares. He sets traps to take us captive. He's eagerly exploiting difficulties or opportunities in our life, and then he sets this little trap. I have found the more sensitive I am to the Holy Spirit of God, the more sensitive I am to the sin in my life. I'm not sure where we are as a church or people or individuals. If our walk with the Lord is suffering and we're not walking with the Lord and we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then we're not sensitive to the evil within and around us. And so we're not able to see the little snares that he's setting. And we get caught. Are you trapped? Did you step in a snare? You don't know how you're going to get out? Instead of submitting myself to the Lord or yourself to the Lord, we're looking for opportunity and option. Are you trying to hide something? Where are you, believer? Has Satan got you in an advantage? You walked right into the trap. Paul said in 1 Timothy that he is seductive. God created humanity to know sensuality. But he created humanity to know sensuality under the authority of God. Satan is the great seducer. Are you being seduced? Is your eye wandering? Are you entertaining thoughts? Are you justifying situations? Is Satan seducing you? You sense it? James said that there's a wisdom about Satan that he brings. James compares two wisdom, that which is earthly and that which is from above. The earthly one is sensual and devilish. The above one comes from the Word of God. Wisdom is the philosophy by which you live your life. Are you living a little different now during COVID-19 than you did prior to COVID-19? Are you buying into the world's philosophy? Are you buying into sin may not be that bad? Let me explain something to you. Sin is never bad in its origin. It's erotic. It's satisfying. It's more than you could ever imagine. There is a conception to it. But when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Are you operating according to the earthly wisdom or to God's wisdom? I do believe that you will find in chapter 4, verse number 4, the greatest advantage that Satan can get in a person's life. Verse number 3 says, but if our God be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, that would be Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The greatest advantage that Satan can get in a person's life is to keep them from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Satan blinds people away from the truth. That might be you here today. You've never received the Lord. You've never believed upon Him for salvation. Satan has blinded your mind. You think negative. You think sinful about God. You think you don't need Him. If a person dies and goes to hell, they will see Satan face to face. The Bible talks about when Satan is discovered in his being, about being so gnarly and so disgusting that what comes out of the mouth of the people will be this: is this the one that deceived the whole world? What they're saying is this: to deny the beauty of the Lord Jesus and His salvation, to be blinded that Satan is more beautiful and follow him. One day when you see him, you'll think, I followed you to hell. Look at you. You talk about a regret, that will be too late. So different than those of us that will see the beauty of our Savior face to face, we'll be glad we followed him to heaven. However, in the blinding of people's eyes, I think Satan is buffeting the church. We care more about who wears a mask or doesn't than we're talking about the souls of humanity. We're more caught up in political movements than preaching the gospel. Oh, Pastor, these last few weeks have really got me stirred up politically. What about preaching the gospel? Nothing wrong with supporting godly movements. But I think that Satan has exploited this opportunity to buffet the church from witnessing the Lord Jesus. Just think about it. You don't even want to be in the vicinity of somebody because you're afraid you're going to get COVID-19. Yet, the church is to be salt and light. We're to be the people out there telling people how they can not just know victory in physical death, but have eternal life. Can't you see how Satan's trying to buffet the church? Distance between the fields that are wide unto harvest? I'm not saying that not be some carefulness there, but he is eagerly exploiting to get an advantage to buffet the church. So in closing, what was your number? That's between you and God. How's your walk? Satan got an advantage there? Has Satan got an advantage in the worldliness of our lives? Satan got an advantage in your marriage? What about your secret habit . How's it going? What about that besetting sin? Satan exploiting opportunity? What about what we're looking at? What about our social media? What about the knowledge we're taking in? What about our relationships? Church family, lest he get an advantage. Pastor, sounds a little bit negative. Come back, if you would, please, to chapter 2, verse number 14. Paul writes, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to," what class? "Triumph." Where? "And maketh manifest the savor of the knowledge of us by us in every place." Our victory is in the Lord Jesus. Our salvation is in the Lord. Our sanctification is in the Lord. Our life is in the Lord. All that we need is in Him. He is sufficient to meet every need of our lives. But I promise you that everything God brings into our life is for our good. We have an enemy out there that's eagerly wanting to exploit to get an advantage. How's your life? Shall we pray? I said in the beginning that the message would demand an honest introspection, an honest accounting. That's between you and the Lord, the same way it was between me and the Lord. I don't want Satan to have an advantage in my life. I don't want him to have an advantage in your life. And I don't want him to have an advantage in our church. But he's seeking one. Joey prayed that we submit ourselves to the Lord and we resist the Lord and he flees from us. But most of the time we give Satan a place. Have you given him a place? Have you opened the door to him? Doesn't have to be big. You might be able to justify it in your conscience. You crack that door, he's going to knock it off the hinges. So if we're children of the living God, we got to look at our lives. And if we find that Satan has an advantage, we need to humble ourselves, confess, repent, and be renewed in the victory of the Lord Jesus. I promise you, Satan cannot do for you in your life what Jesus can do for you in your life. So, believer, in a moment, the altar will be open. Maybe you need to come down and pray, do business with God. Don't leave here with advantage, Satan. Maybe you're here and you're not a believer. You don't want him to get victory in your life by blinding you from receiving the Lord Jesus. If you're here today and you're not a believer, but you've been thinking about it, today's the day of your salvation. If you're here and you've been secretive about it and you're pretending to be a believer, but you're really not, today's the day you need to come to truth, man. Satan set a snare for you. You don't want to die in that position. Father, I know your presence. It's palatable here. I hope it's palatable in the homes that are watching. We're doing a checkup. Where are we? Paul said, church, whatever you do, don't let him get an advantage. Speak to your children. Lord, some may need to come and remedy and rectify some things and get back to advantage Jesus. Some here may need to come and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved today. Oh, what a day that would be. Have your way and your will now, I beg you, in our time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask those that are present if you would stand. We'll open our altar at this time. Our song is Jesus Paid It All. Men of God are here to pray. Maybe, believer, you want to come and take the advantage away from the enemy and place it back in the hands of Jesus in your life. Those of you that are watching online, make that couch, make that chair, make whatever it is an altar, and you do business with the Lord. Let God have his way here. Shall we have our invitation? Jesus paid it all. You come now. God bless you.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spots and melt a heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
All right, thank you so much for listening today. I would beg you to take this message and be vigilant. Watch for the infiltration of the enemy. Watch for his desire to gain an advantage. Look at it in our lives. Understand that he is relentless and eager to exploit. And he will go after anyone and all of us. I love the little song we're going to sing to go home. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to sing it with you. And then when we're done, I'm going to put my mask on and you're going to put your mask on. And that way we can all walk out of here looking like Zorro and protecting one another, and we'll be fine. But let's wait till greater is he that is in me is over, and then we'll put our mask on, and then we'll fellowship one with another. Pray for the service tonight at 5 o'clock. God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God bless you all. You are dismissed.